You're listening to Female Fronted here on Siren Radio.
Welcome to Female Fronted with myself, Tilly Bean. I'm back, and joining me as ever is Cameron Berg. Say hi.
Hello. I'm consistent. I will never go away. I'm like a leech.
That was 22, originally by Taylor Swift, covered by Pale Waves. The reason that I played that is because I'm 22 now. I turned 22 last week.
Had a birthday in all that birthday. Time.
Yeah. I know, right? I'm old. 22 is a weird age because you're not 21, and 21's like fun and you're still a little bit young, but 22's like you got to start properly adulting now. Like, I've been looking at flats today. Ooh. I've been emailing landlords being like, hey, I'm moving out soon. Yeah, but I've been adulting now within a week of being 22.
Well, you see, the mad thing about being 22, and I'm really glad Taylor Swift, like, came up with this song, and I'm really glad that Pale Waves covered it so I don't have to listen to Taylor Swift sing it. Mm. But, like, the thing about being 22 is that it's, like, the most forgettable age on the planet. So, like, whenever people ask me, how old are you, I actually do the math now. Like, I never did it before. Before, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm 21. Oh, yeah, I'm 20, 18, whatever. And it's not that difficult. I was born in 99, so just plus one.
Yeah.
But, like, now I've turned 22, people go, how old are you? And I go, Like, I have to have a moment, because it's such a boring age. Yeah. I'm not going to anything. I'm not coming from anything. It's just, it's kind of miserable, really. It's just a sad age.
Now it's like, until you get to 25 and then 30, like, those are the landmark age, like, the, like, multiples of five. Chelsea's sitting down in her chair now. I'm doing this a lot with my housemates. You know, until you get to those multiple of five ages, you just forget how old you are. I do that with my mum as well. My mum is, like, obviously older than me. So, like, I'm always like, 1956 plus? What's the difference between these 2 years? And, like, yeah.
Well, like, I remember the last birthday which I really made an effort on. So my dad has been 47 for 10 years.
Yeah, if that was me, that would have been my mum's 60th birthday. I have an older mother. Mm. It would, yeah, because her 60th birthday was when she, like, hired out a big function room and, like, got all of her mates from all different, like, decades of her life to come together and have this big 60th birthday bash. It was great. And all of the other birthdays, it's been like, here's your present, happy birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, 60, that's it.
Yeah, 60's the one with the, like, hired DJ and the canapes and the, like, bar tab and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Your mum's cool too, so I imagine her 60th was, like, absolutely amazing.
So incredible. She'd made friends with a DJ who, like, did Northern Soul nights and stuff every few Saturdays, so she'd go out clubbing, go to those, and then she was like, hey, can you DJ at my birthday? So she had a Northern Soul night for her birthday. It was brilliant.
See, that's how cool Tilly's mum is. Like, she made friends with a DJ out clubbing and then had him come back and do the
language.
Oh, God, no, Swad. That's how cool Tilly's mum is. It drives me to language. I can't.
Yes.
I'm sorry, everyone at home. I'm sorry, Ofcom.
It's, oh no, I swore. But yeah, anyways, but that was a good cover by Pale Waves, though, right?
It was. And you want to know something interesting about this? I think we might be the only radio station that's played this.
Yeah, it's a Spotify session.
Yeah, it's an exclusive.
Yeah, it's an exclusive Spotify session, so you can only listen to it on Spotify. The reason why that I found this was the morning of my birthday, me and Chelsea were dancing in the kitchen to Taylor Swift and then Lily Allen's 22. And then Spotify just started playing things, and because I typed 22 into the search bar, it played Taylor Swift, Lily Allen, and then Pale Waves covering Taylor Swift. And I was like, what? Because, you know, Heather Baron Gracie's got a really distinctive voice and the guitar sound is really distinctive as well. And I was like, this is Pale Waves. And then, you know, it feels like one of its nights to dress up like hipsters. And I was like, oh, they did a cover. That's cool. So immediately I texted you and was like, we're putting this on the show.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing. But, like, do you want to know how we're actually allowed to do this? Okay, so
this will, like, be quite fun for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I'm pulling back the curtain. Because most of when I get, like, I think, Tilly, you tend to get the music in a nice way, right? You tend to, like, just talk to the bands and go, hey guys, can I have the music?
Yeah, if they're indie enough and I can't get them on the purchasing system that we use at Siren, I'll email them and I'll be like, hey, I want to put you on the show, and, you know, they'll send over the files and I'll put it on and I'll tell them when it's on, but you do it.
I'm a sneaky lawyery type when it comes to getting these. So I have, like, friends, and I'm not going to name names or label stations because I don't want anyone to come after them. But yeah, they are also on, like, you know, radio DJs and stuff. And I basically ask, hey, what's the legal verse on playing the song? And it's all based on, like, the things we've played before and, like, what kind of agreements we have with the companies. The funny thing is when we reach out friendly and they go, oh yeah, sure, take this, that's actually a formal business, like, contract that's being waived out there. And it's often that these people who give us stuff don't even realize what's quite happening. And when a company gets maybe a little bit too stingy with us, or, like, for example, make something hyper exclusive like this song, we tend to go under the hood a little bit. And we actually found out that the Spotify exclusive tag on this song is not legally binding at all. And as a result, because of the thing we've got with Solar at the minute, which is the company that made it, we do have a right to anything that they claim is exclusive, even though it's not. So we managed to, through legal trickery and an exception, get this song for Tilly's birthday.
Yay! But also, the likelihood is that we at Siren have already bought the rights to the original song.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So that means that we can take any cover because legally we have purchased the song already. And that's what we did with The Interrupters' Bad Guy, because we already had Billie Eilish's Bad Guy on our system.
Yeah. So, Paleways, we love you. Thank you for making your documents not that airtight.
It's brilliant. I quite like the fun legalities of getting all of this music. It's quite interesting. But yeah, anyone who was intrigued by that cover of Taylor Swift's 22, Pale Waves have just released a new album called Who Am I? I think. I'm going to double check that now. Yes, Who Am I? They're from Manchester. We've played them on the show before. They're from Manchester. They're heavily inspired by the Cranberries. And they do sound like they've just kind of stepped out of a BBC 4 replay of 1980s Top of the Pops, where goth rock was merging with bubblegum pop. And it's got that Cure sound and that Susie Sue attitude.
Well, like, I've always had this weird relationship with Pale Waves where, like, it's like half the time they are the best thing to ever walk, and then half the time I'm like, yeah, it could have been better, you know, sort of thing. I don't know, like, they hit me, they touch the parts of me which I really appreciate, but they also, like, sometimes hit the poor spots. And the trouble is that I can't stop coming back to them either. Like, Pale Waves is such a good title for a band. I love their aesthetic and, like, who they are, and, like, because I think I said, like, the first time we played Pale Waves, I was like, they are literally just, like, the band in college that actually made it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. They have that kind of, like, aesthetic. They're, like, so modern and, like, I don't know. They feel... There's something I can't quite put my finger on, but I keep coming back to them.
Mm.
And I'm sure that they're going to, like, blow me away at some point, so I'm just going to wait for that. I'm waiting for it.
This, I feel like when the lockdown lifts and all that stuff and all of the... festivals get planning and all of that thing, this release of the second album is going to, you know, put them on a rocket launcher, and then they'll just go zoom and hit the headlines. I think the headlines they're going to be fantastic. Let's move on and start the show properly. There was some news.
Hello, I'm Cameron Burke.
So we, since last time, there has been the announcement of the lockdown restrictions lifting. And that included live music. So it's not going to be that long until we get to see live music again, which is really fun. I went and had a look at all of the gigs that I had got tickets to before and seen when they'd rescheduled and if they were going to be up and running, and me and Cameron are going to see Ozzy Osbourne in February of 2022, so let's hope he clings on to that.
Come on, Ozzy, I believe in you. Just like, don't try and get off the heroin just yet, it will kill you. Just keep on going. Just plow through to the end, my friend. I need you to keep playing until 2022. I beg.
Yeah. March 2022 can be it. That's fine. But keep February. February is your month. Moving on from Ozzy Osbourne, K-Lyde are playing Heaven and Hell Festival at the Lincoln Imp in Scunthorpe. There is a music venue in Scunthorpe called the Lincoln Imp, not in Lincoln. That confused me. It seems as though I did a little bit of, like, funky research to be able to put all of these dates in. It seems as though the Lincoln Imp in Scunthorpe is, like, a really, like, popular local music venue that's, like, super hip and you know, has all of these cool, like, rock bands on and stuff. And that makes it, that it's so nice to see local venues like that, and especially something like a Heaven and Hell Festival announced that they can be open, and one of the show's favourites, K-Lyde, is going to be playing.
Oh, I love K-Lyde.
I'm going to see if I can come up to that.
Yeah, I think, like, yeah, I'll definitely be, like, trying to go at it. I know that, Rocklinks will, Rocklinks, what am I on about? I'm saying a lot of things. Yeah, the Lincoln will also be hosting Guts and Tides, which means we'll be getting Guts, Tide, K-Lyde again. Which is, like, I feel like that's the Lincoln trifecta right there, is Guts, Tides, and K-Lyde. It rhymes, too, and it's absolutely amazing. And I know there's, like, some other really good artists who are going as well. But on that note as well, there's a competition that Rocklinks magazine are putting together. See, it's all coming together. And they're giving away, like, K-Lyde merch and, like, a new CD and all kinds of stuff. Like, that's on Facebook, if you want to check that out. But I think they're also going to be giving away tickets, maybe. So, like, get involved. I know I am. I'm going to be sharing stuff.
Sharing things. And also Skunk Nancy have rescheduled their tour, and the gig that they'll be playing at the Engine Shed on the University of Lincoln campus that me and Cameron will be at is on the 19th of April 2022, I think. No, they've moved. Oh, no, I think they've moved their... Yes, 2022, I think. Not this year. Yes. So that'll happen, and I'll be coming up to that as well. And that'd be nice to come back up to Lincoln in April, a year after I've graduated, which will be nice. And Hands of Gretel have rescheduled their tour as well, and there'll be a Lincoln performance at the Primordial Radio AGM. That's what it said on the poster on the 18th of September. So
check it out.
Those dates in your diaries for all of those that want to catch Skunk, K-Lyde, and Hands Off Gretel.
I can't wait.
I really want to see Hands Off Gretel live, and I might see if I can get a London ticket, but they're selling out pretty fast, actually.
They're good, that's why. They're good.
Yeah.
They're mad good. I love them.
They're mad good. They're super fun. I'm going to double check the these dates, but I think while I double check these dates, because I didn't write the years in my notes, there's a new album release from our lovely favourites, St. Agnes. And it's called
Vampire. They did another one. Yeah.
Not every long week. After Family Strange.
Yeah. They're pumping this stuff out. This is the weird album that I was talking about, right? Because it's like, so their hit song, like the going with it, is Vampire, which is a completely different aesthetic from before. But also, it's released in, like, psalms. Like, it's, like, if you look at the album, it's strange. It's this weird, like, concept piece. I'm, like, I've yet to listen to the whole thing. I've listened to, like, obviously the titled tracks, but I've been very busy, and so, like, I haven't listened to, like, the whole thing. But it's strange. It is probably the most out there thing that St. Agnes has done. And on top of that, it's all seemingly front-led by Kitty Arabella. So, like, this is hers now. She's usurped the people she was working with last time, and now she's just going for it herself. So, it's mad. It's absolutely mad. I mean, like, Vampire has a different feel to it, and we'll be listening to that in a minute, and you'll get exactly what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less, like, Satan's gonna kill you, and it's a lot more, like, it's kind of poppy. It's kind of, like, you know, it's a lot lighter than what we're used to, but the whole album put together, it's like this crazy religious fanatical, like, nutter thing. Ooh. I kind of wish we could just play the whole album, like, now and go, hey, let's listen to this and let's react, but there is no way we're getting the rights to that.
The album is called Vampire as well, isn't
it? Yeah, the album's called Vampire, yeah.
Cool. All right, let's listen to that then, and then reconvene and discuss.
Vampire.
Never show you the outtakes, baby. The silver will.
That was really good.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
The first time that I've heard that Vampire by Saint Agnes. That was the first time I've heard it. And before we started recording for the show, Cam said to me that it sounds a little bit more poppier than what they're normally.
Yeah, because usually I feel like they want to kill me, and this time they don't.
Mm.
Like, I'm like with them this time. I'm like, yeah, we're awesome. Let's do it, guys. Like, before, I was a kind of afraid of Kitty Arabella. But now I'm with her.
Yeah. they've been doing a lot of press. There was quite a fun picture of them on their Instagram of Kitty and one of the blokes doing like Kerrang stuff. I think that they're doing. I think they've done a feature with Kerrang as well.
So yeah, Kerrang's picked them up.
Yeah, they've picked them up pretty well. I like Popping that they're us. Getting. Yeah, I like that they're getting this attention now. We're the trendsetters now. So yeah, I like that. I like that track. It's got that distortion on like the vocals and stuff. It's got that same vibe and that same aesthetic, but it's not exactly, you know, I've got a bigger gang than you, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a bigger gang than you, like that and everything. Even the last track on this album, Repent, they're all very like aggressive and they're like attacking. And this is like more personal and, you know, it's got a different vibe entirely.
Yeah, like The Family Strange was aggressive and I'm going to kill you. And this is a little bit more like party,
yeah,
like goth rave, but there's blood, like, you know, yeah.
Oh, I mean, entirely. I like,
it's a good, if this is going to be if this is like the single track from the album, then the album is going to be good.
Well, you know, well, it's apparently, they keep calling it a mini album.
I don't think it's that
but
mini.
There are so many tracks on this. It's got two. Yeah, sorry. It's got two sides on the vinyl. Like, so yeah, they've just released the vinyl, and it's got, you know, side A, side B.
Yeah.
I think it's the Psalms. I think the Psalms are, like, more experimental stuff, and that's why they're calling it that. But, like, excluding those, there's six songs. There's, like, six proper songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, like, good songs, too. Like, we've already had, like, two of them on the show. I've listened to a third, so I've listened to basically one side of this album, and the B side is still good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world ain't big enough. Like, that's like, that was like a big thing ages ago. They just brought back. So
yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
they really checking this out.
Yeah, maybe they thought that track was going to fit on that album as well. Like, it's a little single that just floats around, and then they just kind of went, "Okay, we found a spot for you now."
Yeah.
Oh well, that's good.
Just fits together. Yeah, I'm glad to see them like doing so well though, and like, you know, gaining those followers. Still annoyed to see, like, they're still fairly like low down on popular, but maybe Kerrang will like bring them up.
Yeah,
because the amount of effort they're putting in.
Yeah,
they must be working 24/7 on this.
I like that they're getting picked up by these people now. You know, if you get put in Kerrang, that's such a big spotlight put on you as a band, and especially a feature, like they've done a feature on them. It's brilliant. I'm doing my dissertation on the representation of women that front bands in British rock media, and I was going to use Kerrang, but then they went out of print and I want to do print stuff specifically. So I'm using Metal Hammer, and so I've been reading like the last 6 months worth of Metal Hammer UK magazines, and there's a brilliant, I'm very, very pleasantly surprised at how they're doing, you know, how they're covering bands that are fronted by women in a way that was not how Melody Maker were doing the same thing in the 90s. You know, that I'm putting a surprising amount of zeros in my little 0 to 5 point scale categories in my content analysis. Like, you know, we're academicizing, but, you know, it's the representation is really, really good. And if Kerrang are going to do anything like Metal Hammer have been doing, then this is going to be a really great way of putting a female fronted band on, you know, the spotlight, and, you know, giving them that audience or exposing them to the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm seeing like a a bright future. I'm trying not to swear. I'm so excited. Like, yeah, I've seen like a bright future, like, you know, for like female fronted bands, and like, you know, for us to kind of drop that. I mean, like, you know, the title like female fronted, like this was like a joke, wasn't it? It's like a, it's ironic.
The reason that we needed to come up with a name for the show in, I think, about 6 hours before we did the first one. And you know, the title Women, Non-Binary People and Trans People in Rock Music is not a very catchy name for a radio show. So, I mean, it was originally going to be female fronted in quotation marks, but I think that really confused Andrew, so we just kept it as this.
Our director couldn't get like the irony of quotation marks. So, you know what? We're trusting you to listen and get it. It's ironic.
It's ironic.
If anyone ever comes to me, I'm just going to be like, don't you know irony? I'm going to get a scarf.
I've written a whole paragraph in my dissertation about the genre boxing of female fronted. It includes Arch Enemy, Evanescence, and Hailstorm, and the Pretty Reckless, who do such different music, yet they're all the same genre of female fronted, and that's like, that's just wrong.
No, completely. I mean, like, because I listen to like a lot of stuff on the show, I'm thinking like, like, there's a lot of stuff that I think, this doesn't fit our genre kind of thing. Like, and I go, hold on a second, we don't really have one. We just happen to like rock and metal, like, a lot.
That's
who we are.
We occasionally go into alt-pop, which is cool. I'm thinking about putting a few more little kind of indie artists. You know, Tally Spear is probably the most pop that we've gone on this show.
Speaking of, have you heard Tally Spear recently? Have you heard, like, their music?
No, I haven't.
Right, I was listening to a show. I completely forget which one. It was like just like a talk show, just a standard everyday normal talk show, right? And someone made a Tally Spear joke.
Oh,
yeah. Right, obviously, it didn't land, but like I heard it. Like, and they said, "Oh, they want you gone like Tally Spear," and I went, "What?" Like, I was sat there like they referenced Tally Spear. Like, I was just.
I mean, obviously, went over about everyone's head, but like. That's good.
That is good. Yeah, I know.
We've got quite a good correspondence, or at least we did when I got that one track from her. But yeah, I will message her. Look out.
I'm sure I heard it on some like nerdy D&D thing, but like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah, all right, okay. I'll see if I can get her on the next show. But yeah, I think we should move on to a little bit of other news, because this is basically like a news catch-up show, I guess, now. And talking of Evanescence earlier, Fallen is 18 years old.
That's adorable. Can now drink.
It can now drink. Fallen can drink. And pilot a helicopter. I think.
I wouldn't advise it, though. Like, no, you know, like I feel like Fallen's got a lot of like emotional baggage. Or so like it really shouldn't drink or pilot helicopters.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I saw that album cover come up on my Instagram feed, and you know, Amy Lee was like, "My baby's all grown up," blah blah blah, and I was like, "Wow, this is a staple emo album right there." That's it. For anyone that doesn't really know, Fallen is the Evanescence album with Bring Me to Life on it.
Yeah, so it's the Evanescence album.
The Evanescence album. And it's quite nice that it's you know, it's turned 18, basic in the same month that they've released another new single. As we all know, Evanescence are releasing their album in single forms whenever they feel like it. I think it's as they're recording it. I think they're like still writing the album, and then when the song's done, they just put it out there. Because, you know, who's buying albums now, I guess. They're doing that, and the latest track is Better Without You. And what's also fun is that the they were supposed to go on tour with Within Temptation, and they obviously have rescheduled the tour. But what's nice now is that by the time they do that tour, Evanescence will have a whole album worth of new material, and I think that's happening in October. In the UK, I'll have a little check. But do you have any fond memories of Fallen?
I do, and mainly because of like obviously I grew up with Fallen. I think everyone did. It was like the Evanescence album. It was like famous. It was kind of a meme as well. But like I remember, it was like the only music that my cousin would play when we were like round at his playing video games, whatever we were doing. It was the only music my cousin would play that I actually liked. Like, you know, it was just Evanescence and it was awesome. But I also like sort of growing up, there's this whole like weird hysteria around it that I really liked, that like I've always been fascinated with, even when I kind of didn't like music. Yeah, I had one of those phases.
Ooh.
But it was like I really liked the, to begin with, like Fallen. It came out at a time where lots of like, you know, female fronted like rock and metal was Christian music. And yep. Obviously, like, I've played Flyleaf recently. I recently got into Flyleaf, which sounds like it's a misnomer, but I did. That's a Christian metal band. And apparently, like, there were so many Christian metal bands, like, you could, like, shake a stick at them. And they were all, like, female-led. So when Evanescence came out with Fallen, the title Fallen, it sounds like Christian rock. And so it initially became famous in the Christian rock community because there was all these Christian stores that picked it up and were selling it en masse, like free marketing it, thinking that it was like this holy thing. And then Amy Lee came out and said, no, we're not Christian rock. Like, listen to it. Listen to the music. This is not like... And I think like there's an interview somewhere where she tells a pastor, hold on, you think it's Christian? No, it's straight up satanic. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then it got pulled from stores. And because it got pulled, it was in the era of like System of a Down's like Steal This Album as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is the noise. So the second it gets pulled from Christian stores, everyone else goes, oh my God, this is the album that got pulled from Christian stores, and went for it.
Yeah.
Bought it en masse. And then my favorite like detail is that it really got propelled into those like 17 million copies being sold when it was featured in Daredevil. That was it, Daredevil.
Yeah.
And it was like pretty much Elektra's soundtrack. And like at the time, we thought, you know, the world at large thought that Daredevil was a good movie. And so we were tricked, but at least Evanescence like came out on top. So
had that,
yeah,
oh, brilliant. So we're gonna have a little Evanescence Fallen appreciation moment, and we're gonna, I think, maybe back to back listen to, we picked a track from Fallen that wasn't Bring Me to Life, because that would be the obvious track, and you all know it. So we picked a different track, and I'll let you guess what it is when we play it. And after that, we're going to play Better Without You, which is the new release. So the old and the new right next to each other, and that'll be quite a nice little moment to listen to.
Cool. The position.
Here we go.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried, screaming, deceiving, and bleeding. Not tormented, daily defeated by you.
How do you like your radio news? Do you want it with a little bit of extra sparkle? Try this. Siren Radio News Extra, every Friday, just after 5.
This is Siren Radio 107.3.
Guys have had some time to guess the name that tune before we played Better Without You, and the answer is Going Under, which is I guess kind of the second most popular song on Fallen after Bring Me to Life.
Third, My Immortal is still more popular.
Of course, My Immortal. Yeah, we could have played that one, but you know,
Going Under is my favorite.
Yeah, we also kind of like to keep it lively. You know, we don't want to be playing people's teenage depression songs on the radio, do we?
My Immortal, it's too commercial.
too commercial.
I know we're playing Evanescence. I know we just doubled up Evanescence, but come on, My Immortal, that's like really begging for it, isn't it?
we wanted to play a sort of an album track, but yeah. I love that album. I've been like casually listening to that album. Like, you know, I'm cooking dinner. I like to listen to an album while I'm making dinner because it's about an hour, you know. And in lockdown and kind of at the end of last year as well, I'd like put on Evanescence, either Synthesis or Fallen, or you know, the tracks that are being released from The Bitter Truth. And Fallen's a really nice album to like make pasta sauce to.
When I listen to Fallen, I don't think pasta sauce. I think really sad but kind of empowering showers.
Yeah.
I always accidentally listen to it.
Yeah.
Like whenever I'm like music binging, I kind of just mindlessly click and see what happens. And then, like, I somehow always end up just listening to all of Fallen by accident.
Yeah, it's a brilliant album. It's really, like, as a whole piece of art combined, it's really good. I love it.
Yeah, I'll get, like, halfway through, like, listening to the full thing, and I'll, like, hear, like, a track, like, in the middle somewhere. You know, one of those, like, little ones that no one cares about, and I'll go, God damn it, it's Evanescence again.
Yeah.
I'll just get away from it.
Yeah. I did a bit of Googling just to see where Amy Lee was at in 2003, because, you know, I've been catching up on a lot of the emo scene drama that happened in the mid-2000s, because I was actually kind of too young to be getting involved in it anyway. I just listened to the music and liked the tunes. I didn't keep up with who was going out with who. I'm just going to shout out this TikTok person that I have been watching. I literally, like a few months ago, sat on the sofa and for like a straight hour watched these videos. She's called The Emo Chronicles, and she just basically researches to rehash all of the emo drama that was happening in like 2003 to 2009. Like, it's immense. She's got a whole video about Gerard Way's girlfriends, like, and she does a whole video on Amy Lee dating the guy from Seether and then breaking up because he had like substance abuse problems. And then she Amy Lee writes Call Me When You're Sober, which is one of my favorite Evanescence songs, and I would have played it, but we'll wait until Open Door, is it? The Open Door, I think, yeah. Is that album? I think that's 2006, so we've got a while to go. And we'll wait until that one's 18.
Yeah, got a little while, but I swear we'll do it.
Yeah.
So something that like Amy Lee's taught me is that like I might actually be really into a whole genre that I didn't realize I was into, which is angry lockdown music.
Yeah. Yeah. Mhm.
Because like this new stuff. Playlist.
Yeah.
I mean, something that does kind of annoy me about Amy Lee is every single song, like in every interview about any song, and there is a wiki, so you can check this. Someone can fact check me on this. But almost every single song is about moving on and getting through it.
Mhm.
And that's, like, what she says, like, word for word is just getting through it, you know? Just overcoming. Overcoming is the word she always uses. Every song is about overcoming. This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's brilliant, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's depression songs, TM, you know? But, you know, within that there's always the, but it's not going to be like this forever, is it? And that's perfect for lockdown. Because it's not always going to be like this. And we do have a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel now with the lockdown restrictions so being lifted. So, you know, we can sit there and be like, it is going to get better, isn't it? You know?
I prefer the Taylor Momsen, let's just burn everything. Like, burn everything. I don't care if it does get better, just burn everything. It's more fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love Taylor Momsen. Yeah. I've been having moments where I just think of these different women. I had like a Hedy Lamarr phase. I wrote an article about Hedy Lamarr for a thing. And I just saw pictures of her and I'd go, isn't she beautiful? And just sit and swoon at her. And I do the same thing with Taylor Momsen. Oh, and Amy Lee. Anyway, I'm gonna like go into a thing of how all of these women that I love. So
they are amazing.
Shall we like talk about the songs? Do you know what? Listening to Going Under and then Better Without You back to back as like, you know, day one and current. You can tell that her voice has grown so much. Doesn't it sound so much stronger?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds more textured, which is like a weird thing to say about someone's voice. But yeah, it sounds way more textured and like, I think it's partially technology, you know. It's like a really boring way of saying, like, I think it is just the technology. She's able to use her voice more, and so you hear it more. Like,
yeah.
Definitely in her newer stuff. I always found, like, with her solo career, she did some really interesting, like, freaky music. Like, you know, like, kind of conceptual kind of stuff that I really like to listen to because I'm boring. And now, like, you know, she's really using her voice to the fullest, whereas before she couldn't.
Mm.
Just standard, really.
Yeah. You know, it's 18 years of vocal training and performance and experience. It's brilliant, you know, because she's a grown woman now. She's not a youngling in her 20s, you know, bounding about in a band. You know, she's like, you know, she's a grown woman with a brilliant classical voice, beautifully trained, to be able to produce this kind of, it's not even symphonic metal, it's just epic.
I call back to a song she did that didn't hit very well, but like definitely should have. Have you ever heard Lacrimosa?
Oh yeah, yeah, Lacrimosa. Yeah, yeah.
She sings like a bit of actual classical music and then just seamlessly weaves it in with like actual metal. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, once again, we've got to big up the Synthesis album, because that is one of the best greatest hits albums that I've ever heard in my life. Oh, God. And I really hope that on the Within Temptation tour, I'm going to try and get tickets for that if they're still on sale. It's probably really sold out, but we'll have a look.
We'll see.
I really hope that they have at least some kind of orchestra or string section to be able to do a few of the little Synthesis remakes, the little makeovers that they did with those songs, to be able to do them. They played in the Royal Albert Hall on that tour. Like, yeah. That would have been incredible to be able to go to the Royal Albert Hall and basically have an Evanescence prom.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. To be fair, to draw like a comparison, just to like get some arguments going, because God, we need them. Like Amy Lee is American, like America Floor Jansen, do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely like a comparison there.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're both, you know, there's a brilliant, there are so many ties that you can make to women in metal who have come from a classical music background or a musical theatre background. And Floor Jansen has both of those. She's classically trained and studied musical theatre. Amy Lee studied classical music, classical piano, and classical vocal, but loved rock music, so started a rock band that incorporated those classical elements into it. And you know, I've said before on this show that my mum's always told me that Bach is heavy metal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, like something that really reinforced like that, like classical is heavy metal sort of thing.
Yeah.
Those like classical musicians were getting called Satanists and all that kind of stuff, and they invented all of the things that we associate with like heavy metal, like real like Satanist, like crazy singers surfing the crowd. Like, I'm pretty sure Beethoven first surfed the crowd. Like, he just jumped out and was like, yeah, like, all that kind of stuff. It's all them. It was all them to begin
with. The Devil's Triad. It was banned
for
ages, and then it's the basis of heavy metal, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
Then Black Sabbath brought it back and went, you know, and then the world went crazy and the rest is history, right?
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lacrimosa. Right.
Now, I think we've talked too much. We need some music, Tilly.
I think we have talked too much. Sorry, I was going to look up who originally did the Lacrimosa. Yeah, that's Mozart. Lacrimosa Requiem is a Mozart, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just googled it and Lewis just said that it is as well. Yeah,
well done, Lewis.
So Evanescence meets Mozart. Sweet. Yeah, we're running out of time, and we should play some music. So we're going to move on to The Pretty Reckless, because Death by Rock and Roll came out since I last did a show, I think. Yes. And, oof, what an album.
What an album.
Yeah.
We did announce it being released in a show, so.
Oh, we did. Oh, all right. Yeah,
we've definitely already done
that. There's a lot of things going on in my life right now, and I can't keep up with what I've said and what I haven't. But those tracks are incredible. And, yeah, I found out that the whole album is on the music buying platform that we use for Siren.
So we're definitely going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
On top of that, we have simped for Taylor Momsen so much this episode.
Whole
and in the episode, let's keep simping for Taylor Momsen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, rock and roll hell.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. He do be frozen. Oh, no, he do be back now. What did you say? Say it again.
I said, let's keep simping for Taylor Momsen and let's listen to some rock and roll heaven.
Hell yeah. Oh, this is one of my favourite tracks on the album, and it's just the perfect song to go out to. So, should we talk a bit about Rock and Roll Heaven? Or we can just leave it and we can let the song take out the show?
I think we'll let the song take out the show.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Well, we'll hear or talk to you guys.
Things will happen with you.
Radio things will happen in 2 weeks' time.
Whether you like them or not.
Yeah, and I have discovered a lot of new bands whilst doing my dissertation, so we're going to get a lot of them out too. I'm going to hunt them down, and I'm going to also email Tally Spear. So, we'll see what happens next week.
In the next episode, Female Fronted. Yeah. I've been Cameron Berg. Thank you.
And you have been listening to Female Fronted, and this is The Pretty Reckless with the immense track Rock and Roll Heaven.
Marry me, Taylor.
Marry me also.
Freedom found me when I first heard the Beatles sing. Music surrounding me, the church bells start to ring. I stole my daddy's vinyl and burned that needle out. Jimmy, Janice and Morrison, a garden full of sound. I sold my car for an old guitar and set out on the road. My mama cried as she waved goodbye, praying for my soul. And rock and roll heaven, the great gig in the sky. Gotta make it to 27 before I die.
Rock and roll heaven, couldn't get more high. rock and roll heaven, the great gig in the sky. Thought I was done living, but I'll survive.